This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever's on your mind as we launch here into the second hour of the program. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Nick.
And Mark. And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. We give you the features for free, so enjoy those on us. And freetalklive.com. Nick joining us from freemindsmedia.org, where you can go to experience Free Minds Radio and Free Minds TV, both audio and video forms of some more great liberty-oriented programming. Head on over, and it's free, of course, at freemindsmedia.org. As we continue here, we're taking your phone calls, as always, about whatever you want. Coming up, we'll give you the latest on what's happening with the United States Postal Service. That's right. They're all about service. We'll explain what their plan is here in a moment to serve you better. First, though, we go to your phone calls about whatever you want, and we'll start things out with Paul listening in Los Angeles, is it?
Yep, Los Angeles.
All right, Paul, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I wanted to address the question about the community organization, and I have to kind of disagree with you, Ian, on this one a bit. It's something I've been thinking about calling in about for a while, but the basic principle, I believe, is that you can't own things when you're dead. So no matter what conditions I decide I want to attach to my property, I can will the property to somebody, but somebody alive has to own all those rights. I can't say, I have had this property, and now I deem that forever it will be uninhabited and undeveloped. And then for millennia,
right,
everybody has to do that.
Sure.
Somebody has to have the rights. And
I didn't say you could own something in perpetuity after you died. I didn't say that.
Right. But I also can't say that, this property is going to have these rights controlled by the majority, of certain people.
Well, yeah, I think you can. You can attach whatever terminology that you want to the sale or transfer of a property.
I mean, I wasn't here for the earlier discussion, but I assume we're talking about deed restrictions. And
yes,
the thing about deed restrictions is that, in principle at least, there's a chain of title, so that if the deed restrictions are put in place by the owner or the seller, that when that title is transferred, the buyer accepts that as a condition of sale when the title is transferred, and on down the line. So I can see what you're saying, because it bothers me, the idea that a deed restriction could be in placing, for instance, you can't build any other structures on this 200 acres, that could be in place 500 years from now seems a little absurd, because things might have changed quite a bit in 500 years in ways that the owner could not have envisioned. But at the same time, there is a chain of title. So you have a series of agreements between buyer and seller on and on down the line every time that deed is transferred.
I guess what I'm saying is, I think if you have an agreement with somebody and they die, that agreement is void. So if I agree when you sell me something that I will only use the property a certain way, that means while you're still alive, you sort of still have some of the rights to the property. I have rights to the property as long as I don't violate the agreement. But once you die, our contract is over. So
I think I see what you're saying. I think I understand what you're saying, and I think I also agree generally with what you're saying. I mean, you're certainly disrespecting the wishes of the dead person, like by after the fact just going back on your word and doing something differently than what you'd originally promised. So I don't know moral.
I'm not sure that I necessarily agree, though, because the agreement that you're making is, okay, I'll transfer title of this property over to you. If you agree to, when you're putting those deed restrictions in place, not only are you saying you won't do X, Y, or Z, but whoever you transfer the title to, whenever, as a condition of that, you'll make sure that they agree not to do X, Y, or Z. I don't think
that's kind of the nature of a will, too.
Right, but I don't think that agreement goes away because the person's dead, because you're agreeing, yes, even if you're not here, no longer in control of the property, the understanding is that, yes, that the person you're selling it to we'll pass that on to the next person they sell or transfer the title to.
So, Paul, I'm going to try to use this idea that you have here and apply it to something else. A will is essentially an agreement between a dead person and whomever it is that they wish to bequeath their things to.
Mm-hmm.
Can the executor of that say, well, this person's dead, I'm just taking this crap?
I would say the will should be viewed as basically the very last thing that the person does before they die. Well, basically, you write a will down that saying, this is going to be my last act. before I die. And
yeah.
So,
and that's not the same either.
That's what you did right before you died. You transferred that property.
I'll take your side on that one, Paul, because it's not an agreement, Mark. It's just a will. There's not a second side to the agreement. There's no one else signing or agreeing to anything. It's just you saying, this is what I want.
Essentially some kind of rules on property is an agreement either between, as a seller and a buyer, or between, in the case of a will, it's basically the same thing. Here, I'll give you my property as long as you promise not to put an ice cream stand on it. You can do anything else you want, just no ice cream stands. And then,
but I think that agreement is only binding while you're alive. I guess what I'm saying is the property, all of the property rights have to be owned by people who are alive. We can't have a situation where we have a generation born into a country that has all these obligations to people that were dead hundreds of years ago,
yeah,
to where they have to live just because they were born. You know, even if our ancestors, say, had gotten together and unanimously agreed that we want to live in a democracy, well, the generations 10,000 years later are not obligated to, you know, obey a majority rule just because the people back then did. They don't own the property anymore because they're dead, so they don't have any rights to dictate property use. I mean, a contract, you have to be alive. So in a way, if you sell me a property with a condition like that, in a way we're kind of dividing ownership. So if I say I won't put an ice cream stand on this property when you sell it to me, basically I own the property except you own the ice cream stand rights to the property.
Yeah.
So you own a piece of the property still. And so I've kind of let, you know, I haven't gotten that part of the property. But if you die, then you know, that's wherever you could will that ice cream stand part of it to whoever you want, or, you know, somebody alive has to own.
I agree with the general sentiment, because I don't really like the idea that deed restrictions could run forever and ever for the reasons you're pointing out.
But
however, I can see it more in a case that when you have a single piece of property that's, say, not part of a homeowners association, when it's just my homestead and I put certain restrictions in there, I can see more that wouldn't hold water after I've passed away, because it's really only what I wanted to happen with the property and I'm dead. When you're dealing with, say, a homeowners association, you're sort of tying everybody's property together.
Right, because then it's an agreement with not just the original owner, but also you're tying yourself into that association. So when the original owner dies and hands it to their son or whoever it is.
Well, when all the original owners are dead, everybody who's bought in at that point, some of them would be under the general understanding would be that we're all, when we buy the property in this association, we're agreeing to whatever association rules are in the deeds. And so those people who are alive, say 100 years down the line, some of them might not want to follow those things because, well, the people who made these
rules
houses
won't be there anymore, though.
100 years? There's houses that have been here
technology
for 300 years.
Technology will change in the next 100 years significantly more than it has changed in the last 100 years.
So let's presume
we will not be living in the rickety shacks built in the 1700s that might be popular.
I would not bet money on that.
The outsides of them might be there, but people are still retrofitting their rickety shacks with insulation and all kinds
of... That may be, but the property itself, the land and whatever structures are on them, whether they tear them down to retrofit them,
right,
they're still going to be there. So the property owners are still going to be entering into this homeowners association under the understanding that those rules are there, whether the original owners are dead or not. So
right. I think that's the right distinction to make. Do you go ahead and finish your thought?
Well, then you have people who are alive who are party to the agreement, I guess would be the distinction that you're making. Whereas if somebody violates deed restrictions that were put in place 100 years ago, I think that's really something that should be handled in as a civil matter, and who's really going to be able to say that they were directly harmed by that? The dead person?
He's dead, yeah. Right, so what I'm hearing here, and do you have any other thoughts, Paul, on this?
Yeah, well, I don't think that works for the homeowners association, because you can't have a contract with a majority or a group. You have to have a contract with individuals. I could distribute part of my property. I could say, here, everybody in the homeowner association owns a tenth of this aspect of the property so they can vote on it. But those people would still have the right to that percentage, and they could sell it to each other or give it to each other. And
when you accept the ownership of that, whether it's willed to you or you buy that property, you're accepting those conditions of the property ownership. I mean,
yeah,
you made that decision,
Paul,
when you bought that property.
I want to come back with this. Hang on, Paul, if you could... Oh, crap. Well, I guess we don't know, Paul. Paul, you can call back because I want to continue the discussion. 800-259-9231. Whose idea was it to put the drop button next to the hold button on the phone box? More coming up here. 800-259-9231. Ownership. What does it mean? How does it transfer, etc.? Your thoughts? Free Talk Live.
Duty. Honor. Family. They're more than words for active and separated members of the U.S. military. You've defended our freedom, and we're here to help your family. This is Tim Lewis of iFreedom Direct, and a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. You've served your country with honor, and you're entitled to benefits not available to the general public, like buying a home with no down payment, streamlined refinancing, or getting cash out up to 100% of your home's equity. And because of your service to your country, it's usually easier to qualify for a VA loan than a conventional loan.
On your feet!
And get all the details at varadio.com.
iFreedom Direct Corporation is a private lender approved by the VA and licensed in most states. In certain states, restrictions and limitations apply. For a current list of licenses, disclosures, and all benefits, go to varadio.com or call 800-900-VA-LOAN. varadio.com.
Did you know there is a growing number of researchers who agree that 90% of all disease begins in the colon? Did you know that 80% of all Americans suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? If allowed, our bodies are capable of healing themselves. The key to optimal health is not only what we eat, but also a healthy digestive system and a strong immune system. At Freshwater Organics, we offer FPP, a daily organic supplement that helps eliminate parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, has been used worldwide for thousands of uses and is now available from Freshwater Organics. In addition, we offer an entire line of products to help cleanse waste and toxins, strengthen your immune system, and improve your overall well-being. Make FreshwaterOrganics.com your first stop for organic and natural supplements at the best prices. Visit FreshwaterOrganics.com. Again, that's FreshwaterOrganics.com. Or request your free catalog by mail by calling 888-949-3570.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
For safety, you lock doors, set alarms, buy antivirus software, maybe even have a watchdog. Do you care as much about your air and water? Lock out harmful poisons from entering your body with airandaqua.com. Using purification devices from airandaqua.com allows you to enjoy safety and security with every breath you make and every sip you take. For free shipping on purchases, discounts, and newsletters, visit airandaqua.com or call 866-380-2782. Shop airandaqua.com and purify your life.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. Just dial in toll-free 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. 800-259-9231. And tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website, freetalklive.com. We give you the features for free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com features including our bulletin board system, over 500,000 posts. There's a lot to talk about. Serious issues, silly nonsense, you'll find it all over at bbs.freetalklive.com. That is bbs.freetalklive.com.
And if you're in the market for gold or silver, go check out gold.freetalklive.com. We've got some great rates there on some coins that I've picked out myself. And they're not intended to be coins for people that are collecting coins or anything like that. This is essentially designed to get gold and silver into your hands as either, you know, a hedge against inflation, investment, barter currency. Any of these things seem possible to me. So gold.freetalklive.com.
All right. We had Paul on the phone, and unfortunately, because of a slip of the finger, we accidentally dropped him off, and I guess maybe he didn't get the message that he could call back. But he was talking about the idea of property rights and transferring ownership and deed restrictions, neighborhood associations. And I think he makes an interesting point that I empathize with him on, and I think, Nick, you said that you do as well, the idea that if somebody tells you when you're buying their property that they always want you to have a palm tree, that they've got a palm tree that they planted, and it's a very important palm tree, and that no matter what happens, you must have a palm tree in that spot where that palm tree is, from, you know, here into perpetuity. And that is a term that comes along with the purchase of the home. That is a deed restriction placed on that particular piece of property. What Paul was pointing out was that if so-and-so dies, then you don't really have an agreement anymore because the person who died is no longer around. And I tend to agree with that, although I think it's kind of callous. Like, you know,
I'm not sure that I agree. I can see for people further down the line who never actually met the initial owner. I think the first person to do it, you did make an agreement with that person to do it in perpetuity. If they die, that doesn't mean you don't have an agreement with them anymore. It just means they're not alive to bother you about it.
Right. That's why I think it's tacky.
You still made the agreement to do it in perpetuity.
No, I agree with you there. That's why I'm saying I think it's tacky. Like, yeah, the guy's not around anymore. You're breaking your word with a dead guy. I think it's kind of poor form. But at the same time, like you say, who's going to come after you if you take the palm tree away after the old man passes away?
Well, there's another sort of utilitarian aspect to this. Is what about these organizations like the Nature Conservancy, the Audubon Society, Ducks Unlimited, which take tracts of land mm-hmm. and put them into a trust? There's also the Wildlife Land Trust. There's all kinds of these organizations, which basically it is a trust that says, you're never, ever going, this land is never, ever, ever going to be developed. I don't care if, you know, what happens. And, you know, shy of war, total, you know, national change, that's essentially what is going to happen. So we have proposed on this program, because a lot of the greenies will call in about, what about natural space? You know, things like that. And in a sort of capitalist world, you know, free market world, somebody could say, I want my land completely, you know, pristine, untouched. And other, you know, their son could say, hey, let's build a super mall here. It'll be fun. And so they essentially change everything, and I think that you do need to have a way to preserve natural space, don't you?
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. I don't think an organization like the Nature Conservancy is just going to sell off some of their land. I mean, a group like that is grab the land, and they're going to hold on to it.
It doesn't always work that way. It's not always owned by a trust. There are a lot of private property owners who will put a conservation easement on their property through a deed restriction. That's pretty common. That you'll have somebody who owns, say, a couple hundred acres, and they'll put at least a portion of that under this conservation easement, which is a deed restriction which says all of the land or this portion of the land will never be developed. And so in some cases, that conservation land is done through deed restriction.
Well, I think in a case like that, you would need to have something like a homeowners association, which is where I wanted to go with the differentiation between the things we were discussing. Is he was talking about breaking the agreement with a dead person, whereas if you are given a home, bequeathed a home by your parents, and they're in this homeowners association, when you take control of that property, you aren't in an agreement with dead people, you're in agreement with the other people in the homeowners association. So similarly, so that those terms continue, because there are other people still around with the interests of looking after the terms and, you know, making sure that the property is done with as it's supposed to. same thing with the Nature Conservancy or whatever the private individual you're talking about with the natural easements that you're referencing there. If they want to make sure that the person they're selling the property to is going to take care of it in the way that is specified, then it would make the most sense for them to have a third party involved in that agreement, some sort of overseer.
Basically a caretaker for the property.
Just somebody who would not necessarily even have an active role in taking care of property, but somebody who would be an observer, if you will, to ensure that the terms were continued to be met down the line. Somebody with an interest in keeping an eye on the natural state of the property to make sure that the new owner doesn't break his agreement. Because if it's the Nature Conservancy, they're not going to sell land to just some Joe Schmo. Similarly, somebody that has an environmental attachment to their property like that is likely going to be very concerned with the person that they sell it to down the line. And one of the ways they could ensure compliance is by having a third party, some sort of eternal organization like this, maybe like the Nature Conservancy or like a homeowners association that is going to be able to keep an eye on things. And that's where I also disagree with Paul, because he said that, well, agreements can only be between individuals. I think that may be a true statement, but it can be a group of individuals that you're agreeing to something with, and that would be a homeowners association, a group of ever-changing individuals. It's not very likely that every member of the homeowners association is going to pass away same week.
If property can be owned separately or together or whatever, in sort of a group in a family unit, then they can be owned in other groups. So, I mean, I don't see why it couldn't be.
Right, and those people own to some sort of level of decision-making ability. The Homeowners Association doesn't actually own your property in that they can't likely determine whether or not you buy or sell it and to whom.
Essentially, when you buy into a deed-restricted community, you buy, a piece of land, and secondarily, you buy...
A membership.
You buy a membership over the whole land, a membership of a portion of the decision-making ability over the whole area.
Right, you're giving up some of your sovereignty to the Homeowners Association.
In order to have a better-looking...
Supposedly.
Place. Well,
I don't think those deed restricted communities look better than undeed restricted ones necessarily.
Depends on which one. I've seen some that look great, and I've seen ones that don't.
It's an issue of what you think looks good. And
exactly.
Nicely painted houses without rusting hulks in them and things like that look good.
I don't think houses that all look the same with the exact same specifications looks good.
No, the reason they do that is it's just less costly to produce them that way when you only need to have an architect come up with a few different models. I mean, that is not necessarily an aspect of a deed-restricted community.
So I think we've ironed out some of the subtleties of this particular conversation. Was there anything else you guys wanted to add to the discussion?
No, I mean, I think it's important to point out how these things should work, but from a practical standpoint, regardless of whether you have a paradigm where you have government down the road or whether you have a stateless society, I don't really think people are going to be too concerned about upholding these contracts when they become 200, 300, 400 years old. I don't think anybody's really going to care.
There's more coming up here. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll free line. Take control of the airwaves. Bring up anything. The latest on what the post office is proposing. It's not looking good for the post office, I can tell you that. We'll give you the details coming up. It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything.
Lose 1 to 2 pounds a day the healthy way and keep it off with the help of the entire Real HCG diet. With an average weight loss of 1/2 to 2 pounds a day, you can be in that bikini or swimming suit in no time. You've heard of people spending over $700 for this exact same diet at doctor's offices? Now you can start the entire HCG diet for under $100. YourHCG.com is the largest HCG reseller in the entire country, and we want to help you. We have helped thousands of people shed unwanted weight, so call YourHCG.com today. No prescription required. No doctor visit required. No painful injections. With every purchase, we'll provide you with everything you need, including your supply of HCG, unlimited one-on-one phone and email support from one of our amazing health coaches, in addition to a large list of menus, diets, and much more. Visit www.yourhcg.com or call us at 877-748-2709 to order your HCG today. Again, that's 877-748-2709 at yourhcg.com. We love you.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Great news for pure water lovers. The Big Berkey Water Filter is available once again. And stay tuned to hear about a valuable offer from Berkey Water Filters. Choosing the right water purification system can be a daunting task. That's why BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com shows you a cost and benefit comparison. The Berkey Water Filter is economical, with a single set of filters that can last for 5 to 10 years. Berkey Water Filters are healthy and far superior to other filtration systems. They remove harmful pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy chemicals like chlorine. And Berkey water filter systems are powerful enough to purify both treated and untreated water, like stagnant ponds. Get the gold standard in water filters at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. For a limited time, choose a free shower filter, fluoride filters, or two Sport Berkey bottles with every system purchase. And GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Details at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves. Dial in and toll free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Nick.
And Mark. Join us online at freetalklive.com. We give you the features for free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that is freetalklive.com, and our wiki is there. You can go to wiki.freetalklive.com and edit almost anything you see there. Over 2,000 pages created by listeners just like you, WIKI Wiki. freetalklive.com. And you can take the startpage.com 7-day challenge. For 7 days, use startpage.com instead of your big brother search engine, and you can experience the difference. You'll get search results aggregated from 12 major search engines, and unlike your old search engine, you'll have complete privacy in your search, and now privacy in your results if you want it. There's the proxy option. Whenever you get the results from startpage.com, you just click the proxy link next to the search results. You can use the regular link and go to the website as normal. Or if you use the proxy link, then you essentially are browsing the web at that point through startpage.com, making you completely insulated from the website you're visiting. Start the 7-day challenge today at startpage.com. All right, 800-259-9231. So we started out talking the absurdity of code enforcement, all of the ludicrous, arbitrary rules and restrictions imposed by threat of violence on everybody in various different cities across the country. And now we'll talk about something else that appears in every city across the country, that is your local post office. the U.S. government's postal service. According to CNNMoney.com, snail mail might soon get even slower. The cash-strapped U.S. Postal Service announced Tuesday that it will incur, that's today, that will incur about $238 billion in losses in the next 10 years.
Because the chickens are coming home to roost. You know, there's no organization as stagnant as a government organization, and their expectation is that as many people, you know, that previously wrote letters are going to continue to write letters. We don't use stamps at my house anymore. My wife pays all the bills online. And the post office has essentially become a government-subsidized ad venue. In the same way that Free Talk Live is an ad venue, we bring you a show with everything. They're just the postal carriers just bring around pizza ads and car wash ads and Chinese restaurant ads and whatever and shove them in your box. Dear resident.
Right.
That's why I didn't put one up.
At your house.
Yeah, I don't see any reason to put a box up that the federal government then claims to own.
Yeah.
They must own it if they tell me that I can't let my friends put other things in it.
Right, it's yours until you put it up, box.
If it says, it's my understanding that if it says U.S. mail on it that they actually can't do it, so I could probably create a box that would, of my own that doesn't say U.S. mail, that the mail carrier could put things into.
Will they deliver into an unapproved box?
This is not a mailbox or something like that.
Will they deliver into an unapproved box? Because don't all mailboxes have to be approved by the postal?
Your box isn't approved.
No, that's true. Mine's not.
Junk hanging in the side of your house.
That's a good point. Well, here's the rest of the story here. The next 10 years, they'll lose $238 billion if Congress doesn't permit it to revamp its outdated business model. The agency is proposing an adjusted mail service schedule, which will likely cut Saturday delivery and eliminating its prepaid retiree health benefits. That alone, it says, will cut $90 billion in costs over the next 10 years. The challenges hurting the USPS's bottom line reflect a macro change in society, according to the Postmaster General bureaucrat, Jack Potter. He said at a press conference Monday previewing the proposed changes that all posts around the world are challenged, just as we are, by the diversion of hard copy to electronic medium. USPS, as though they weren't always running in the red.
Well, now they have a very good reason.
USPS unveiled a list of cost-cutting measures, including closing some branches and raising its prices. Gee, you knew that one was coming, right?
As far as I'm concerned, it's a good thing them raising their prices because
I don't know about that.
It will once it gets up to a buck, then if Congress doesn't pass another law, there's competition in play.
That's a big if.
Yeah, that's an if.
You'd think though that. You know, FedEx and UPS and things like that would probably offer first-class type mail now, but I don't know.
If they had the opportunity, which they don't, because
they could do it if they wanted to at a dollar. I would be happy, and I understand that I do it from a principled standpoint where other people may not do it, but I'd be happy to use them at a dollar to deliver stuff. But this is the thing, it's all subsidized.
So we don't know what the actual cost of mail is because it costs 42 cents or 44 cents or whatever the current price is.
44 now.
It's 44 now. It costs 44 cents to deliver a letter from Florida to Alaska and 44 cents to deliver a letter from Sarasota, Florida to Bradenton, Florida.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you don't have any idea what the actual costs of delivery are on that. And, of course, the marketplace would pass along the actual cost to its customers, and it would kind of change how things operate. But nonetheless, the agency says it expects that, by the way, the closing branches, raising prices would also require congressional approval. So these guys can't really even change their business model without the Congress essentially giving them the A-OK.
But they're a private organization now.
Yeah, you're right. Talk about slow and unwieldy. The agency also says it expects to save another $123 billion between now and 2020 by renegotiating transportation contracts, cutting work hours, and expanding the use of self-service kiosks in grocery stores and other popular retail spots, measures that don't require congressional approval. USPS is trying to curb steep losses. It posted a $3.8 billion loss in its 2009 fiscal year, the latest in a multi-year string of whopping losses. Mail volume was down 12.7% for the year, a trend the agency expects to continue over the next decade as more consumers opt for online bill payments and message delivery. The post office was $10 billion in debt as of September 30th, not far off from its $15 billion debt limit, which the agency expects to hit in its 2011 fiscal year. What happens then? I'm not a financial expert, so
they raise it.
Right, right.
But they raise their debt ceiling.
That's probably what they would do. But what's the point in having one? What's the point of that?
Because it makes it look like they're fiscally accountable when they're not.
Right.
The same reason the U.S. government has a debt ceiling and they just raise the debt ceiling.
Right. It is the ridiculous notion for those that continue to hold on to this paradigm that somehow, sometime, somewhere, the government is going to be responsible when it comes to money.
The post office spent $4.8 million on studies by outside consultants. Accenture, the Boston Consulting Group, and McKinsey & Company to forecast a 10-year outlook and present a plan the agency calls both ambitious and aggressive. Any changes to the government agency's business model would have to be reviewed by the Postal Regulatory Commission, presented in a series of public hearings, and approved by Congress. The post office, an independent government agency, does not receive taxpayer dollars, and it is is funded entirely by its own revenue. However, the Postal Reorganization Act of 1970 constrains the agency's operations. Now, it's my understanding that that statement that they don't receive taxpayer dollars and is funded by its own revenue is only true if you don't include the pension.
Is all you have to do is Cato has a great article on it, and there's all kinds of ways. We're not even talking about just pensions here. There are all kinds of ways.
There's the building rent.
Right. The post office doesn't pay market rate for rent at all. It gets government, and the government builds their buildings and all kinds of things, and they still can't operate a profitable business. It's all you have to do is go to cato.org, and you can look it up. It is an expansive article.
Very lengthy.
And it shows you the myriad of ways that the government continues to subsidize the post office. And this bull crap about it being quasi-private and self-funding is absolute nonsense.
What they really should do is cut the post office loose and actually, I have no problem with the postal service existing if they want to, if they can actually function completely privately.
Sure.
And I realize, it's a constitutional bureaucracy, whatever. It's unnecessary.
Yep.
I mean,
but the problem is it's constitutional. I agree with you from conceptually, but the problem is it is constitutional. And this is the other thing that the constitutionalists don't understand about their document. It stinks, and there's no way to change it.
Well, yes, sir. If we do change it,
then it's only going to change in a fashion that's more socialist, not less.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably. I mean, the government can just kind of have a policy of benign neglect if they wanted to. They could maintain two post offices and a post road between them. And you'd be in compliance. You just have a really crappy postal service. And you'd let FedEx and UPS pick it up. Most people are paying bills online. They do a lot of things online.
There's more coming up here. 800-259-9231. A little bit more about what's going on with the post office. Looking at slicing out Saturday delivery. You can take control of the airwaves. Bring up anything. 800-259-9231. It's Free Talk Live.
In the late 21st century, the hardiest, most daring adventurers have begun to colonize the solar system, where untold mineral riches await them. Jealous of their wealth and fearful of their freedom, the government of Earth is determined to extend their power to this new frontier by any means necessary. Escape from Terra, an illustrated science fiction saga from Big Head Press. Read it online at escapefromterra.com.
Do you have hair or skin problems? Are you sensitive to fragrances or dyes? Quit suffering. Quit trying the latest, new, and improved potions. Try Unicure Hair and Skin Conditioner. It's been sold in top salons since 1973, and I've been using it for the past year, and I love it. Unicure's Hair and Skin Conditioner's gentle, greaseless formula is fragrance and color-free. If you have hair or skin, you need Unicure. Call 888-UNICURE or visit unicure.com. 888-UNICURE. Unicure.com.
As the economy continues to decline, patriots across the nation are preparing for the worst. The world is changing fast. Are you fully prepared? Or will you be forced to eat government soup? At PatriotFood.com, we offer you 135 pounds of dehydrated food and 6 varieties of canned meat for half price. And at SurvivalistSeeds.com, we now offer 50 non-GMO varieties of vegetables, and over 10,000 heirloom seeds. That's twice as many as our competition for the same price. PatriotFood.com and SurvivalistSeeds.com. Food insurance, just in case. Owned by me, Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator that produces pure drinking water right from the humidity in the air. No, this isn't science fiction. It's very real. I know because I use one every day in my own home, and it's available right now to you. Because you know exactly where your water comes from with Ecola Blue, you'll know what's in your cup. Clean, great-tasting water without all the pollutants. Get your family off the grid today by ordering your own Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator for your home or business. Their best seller, the Ecola Blue 28, produces up to 7 gallons of water every day. The Ecola Blue 28 is easy to use and economical. Generate your own pure water from the humidity in the air. This system is free of chemicals and uses a multi-stage filtration system, including reverse osmosis, carbon filters, and ultraviolet lights. Order now and claim your water independence today by calling Ecola Blue at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue on the web at www.ecoloblue.com today.
From the ancient lost book of Tobias, we read,
"Then the angel said to him, take out the entrails of the fish and lay up his heart and his gall and his liver for thee, for these are necessary for useful medicines."
This passage tells how livers of fish were important to man's health then and are now. Green Pasture Products, a family-owned business, provides high-quality sacred food oils made in the same way they've been made throughout history prior to 1850, with fermentation. Cold fermented cod liver oil from Green Pasture is rich in vitamins A, D, E, K, omega-3, omega-9s, and more. But no man-made nutrients, only what the fish provides. Green Pasture products are clean, independently tested for impurities, made in the USA, and come in capsules or liquids. For more information and a 20% discount off of first orders, visit greenpasture.org and be sure to enter coupon code RADIO at checkout. Hurry, 20% discount only good through March 31st. Or call 402-858-4818. That's 402-858-4818. Call Green Pasture products today.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want. Just dial in toll free, 800-259-9231. That number brought to you by SACL CAI. 1-800-259-9231. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Nick.
And Mark. Join us online at freetalklive.com. The features are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. There's still a lot to talk about here. We're discussing the USPS, United States Postal Service. One of the largest bureaucracies in the country. Is it eclipsed by... No, it does eclipse the amount of employees that the military has, does it not, the Postal Service?
I'm not sure.
Couldn't tell you.
I believe it does. I believe there are more postal bureaucrats than there are military bureaucrats, and the military is a pretty big bureaucracy.
Maybe so, but I think they've been the post office has been hiring sort of part-time contract workers more so than they used to.
I don't know. I'm not too familiar with their business, but I do know that from time to time their business is made very, very public because right now they're talking about losing $238 billion over the next 10 years if they aren't allowed to restructure their business. Of course, they have to go to Congress to ask permission, even though they're called an independent government agency. So are they independent or not? Well, clearly not, because, Mark, you were pointing out there's an article over at Cato, the Cato Institute, that essentially just details in to the minutia kind of level the amount of waste and the amount of governmental connections and funding sources that the post office has.
You know, and it's kind of interesting because this, to some extent, harkens to the caller who had called in earlier talking about how... You know, if you make some agreement in the past that it can affect the future and that kind of thing. And maybe it made some kind of sense for the government to own an unprofitable organization that allowed people to, you know, cheaply communicate from one coast to the other and all points in between or something like that. But now we have that and we call it the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people don't need the post office to be subsidized any longer. They don't need that. If you want to send, you know, if you want to continue to send your bills in via snail mail, you should have to pay whatever it costs to send it from here to there to do that. If some private organization were to set up mail delivery, it would be much more cost effective than what the government does. You can't use their numbers because they don't know how to run a business.
I think you'd see a lot less letters being shipped, and you'd probably see a lot more packages, things that people actually do need physically moved from one place to another place. But it's just outdated to ship printed material via the mail, via carrier service, because you can send it electronically.
It's not outdated when you think of what the post office really does, though. The post office is an ad venue. It is basically an organization that takes junk mail and delivers it to your box. Just take a look at what you're getting. I don't have a post office. I don't have a box any longer.
Those junk mail services get a discount when they mail stuff out.
That's the thing. So, in fact, we, the taxpayer, continue to subsidize junk mail being sent to our mailboxes. It's immoral. I'm sorry. You can't call it anything else.
So there have been some propositions out there. I mean, we were talking about cutting them loose, right? I mean, absolutely cutting the post office loose and allowing them to sink or swim in the real marketplace. And what could they do? You know, would they be able to get it together to the point where they could actually
they have a lot of assets
and compete?
And if you cut the tether and they were no longer hamstrung by the fact that they were managed by Congress, they might actually shape up. They might shed some of the bureaucracy and decide, hey, if we want to stay open, we can't keep functioning like a bureaucracy. We have to function like a business.
Well, what about the pensions?
Yeah. Well, here's the way you take care of it. Here's the way you have to take care of it. You take the pensions on because they were U.S. government employees, and then we're just talking about getting rid of the post office. We're not talking about moving to a completely free society in one day. You cut the post office loose. You let them keep their assets because they've got them, and you might as well let them keep them. You're not going to have any success just blowing up everything and selling it or whatever. You let them keep all their stuff. You cut them loose. You say, you don't get another penny. Goodbye, goodbye.
No one's going to want to buy it anyway if you did. I mean, it's probably all outdated crap.
proprietary stuff only the government can use.
The equipment that they have, it's not as if FedEx or UPS or any of the other private carrier services are moving massive amounts of letters. So somebody might want to buy it, but they'd have to want to get into that business.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything better out there because there's no competition. Maybe other postal services around the world in other countries, but there really is no competition here in the U.S. If you're in the business of moving letters from one place to another, you're the U.S. Postal Service.
Well, there's no reason at all why say the post office gets cut loose, they can't hack it, which maybe they could, maybe they couldn't, who knows? Because all you have to do is hire a CEO and then make it happen.
We were talking last night about old businesses not being able to change with the times, and boy, an old bureaucracy all of a sudden cut loose into the marketplace. Maybe they could make it. I mean, there is a possibility that they could, but man, they'd really have to get it together.
There's always the option of doing what they do with a so-called private monopoly and break it up.
Right, and that's what I was going to say.
And you break them into five competing companies. Maybe four of them go under and one manages to make it, or two stay on and three go under.
Well, even if you cut it all loose and they just figure it out on their own, whatever, if they go under, then somebody buys half of the post office equipment or a third of it or something like that and still manages to run a letter delivering service that's fine. I mean, there's no reason that a lot of these communities that have tiny little post offices need them, honestly. They just don't. And there's no reason why people need to get mail in their box every day. If they delivered mail on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays or something like that, you imagine how much money they would save, and you'd still get mail on a regular basis.
I go to my mailbox once a week. I get a private mailbox. I go there once a week. It's fine.
It's ludicrous. It's just ludicrous.
800-259-9231. And, of course, there are also other ideas that the marketplace would bring in, innovation that the marketplace could bring in to letter delivery that likely we probably can't think of many of the innovations that would occur. But I know somebody had proposed, I don't remember where I read this, but I thought it was a good proposal, the idea that, well, right now the post office subsidizes the delivering of advertising. What they could do is still subsidize the cost of sending a letter by plastering it with advertising or something like that. So essentially selling ads to Domino's to where you would have to, if you wanted to send somebody a letter, you'd have to send it in a certain size envelope, and then it would go through like some sort of printer at the post office and, you know, get hit with a Domino's ad or something like that, and then go out to the recipient or something, some sort of advertising.
Companies like Domino's and that kind of thing could compete on the basis of stamps. Stamps could be larger. They could have the company's logos and stuff on them,
yeah.
And then the company would subsidize the sending of your letter to some extent in order to have you put their advertising on the letter.
That's an idea.
Have to look at it. The post office carrier has to look at it. Anybody who comes in contact, the receiver has to look at it. You know, it's not terrible advertising. Say Domino's says, well, instead of 44 cents, we'll pay for 10 cents of your letter. You know, we have the 34 cent stamp, and then they compensate the post office the other 10 cents.
Who knows what they would do? Or maybe, you know, if you're sending something from one side of town to another, it could get delivered. But if you're sending something from Florida to Alaska, rather than actually spend the gas or whatever the amount would end up being, $3, $4, $5, who knows what it would cost.
Scan it and fax it.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Scan it to email.
Yeah. Scan it and then email it to the location of the post office in that other place. They can print it out and then go and deliver it, and it would save significantly. The only thing you'd be really paying for then is the guy who takes it out of the envelope, scans it in, and then somebody else who delivers it. Of course, then you come into the privacy issues and all of that.
But let's put it this way. If you're getting a bill or a medical statement, somebody at the hospital looked at that form before they put it in the envelope.
That's true.
So somebody working for a private business, somebody looked at what is in there before it went in the envelope. It is one more person who would see it, but it's not really private information because somebody sent it to you.
Well, and that could be an option, too. I mean, you could come into the post office and you could have a private envelope or a private stamp or something like that that basically instructed them to say, look, I'm willing to pay the extra $5, you know, to get this to my destination without having anybody look at it. You could do that. Or you could accept the open and scan option for $1. As opposed to $5. So these are, again, all things that the marketplace would be able to handle and would come up with the innovations necessary to and implement them in the time frame necessary to make it possible that they could possibly succeed.
I mean, that's because some people who are new to these ideas might be asking why the post office can't do it. And it's not that they couldn't come up with these ideas on their own. It's that they lack the incentive to come up with these ideas because currently they are subsidized by the government.
Right.
And they are a monopoly, so there's no competition.
And they're financially rewarded for failure.
Right.
If they fail to perform properly, they get more money.
So what's their incentive to do better? Their doors stay open. They get good pensions if they deliver things well and come up with innovations, or if they don't. So of course they don't. They're not going to go through the extra work to come up with innovations and move that industry forward in the same way that FedEx and UPS have to compete against each other for market share.
Right. The toll-free number here is 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Whether you want to talk about the post office bureaucracy and innovation of sending letters and packages, what could happen also in the future, you can do that, or you can bring up whatever you want. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Hour 3 is on the way, and this is Free Talk Live.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nestle Toll House Morsels. There are a million reasons to bake with Toll House. Find yours at verybestbaking.com. A balanced diet is important, but so is the occasional treat. Working with your kids to bake a dessert from scratch helps them to appreciate it even more, and it keeps them from resenting having to eat their veggies every other day. Plus, baking is a perfect excuse to spend time with your kids, since just being together is a treat. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237.